so we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that many angels before this earth was inhabited fell for the blandishments of Satan. And we know also, Lord, that in the Garden of Eden, Eve and Adam also fell to his enticements, showing, Lord, that without you, there wouldn't be one able to stand, Father. And that's how we find it tonight. But by your personal presence and your own guarantee, we believe there'll be a people standing at the end time that will not be deceived, not taken in by the seductive manners and ways of Satan, Lord, but shall stand inviolate in the presence of God because of what that presence does. And we are trusting that to be our portion tonight, Lord, as we dedicate ourselves to you. Thank you for the privilege of doing so. Help us in our studies. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're looking at number 20 in Satan's Eden. And according to this message that Brother Branham brought us, Satan has had 6,000 years to build his Eden, which of course would be his kingdom headquarters on this earth. And we base that upon Brother Branham telling us that Eden was God's headquarters, or the headquarters of his kingdom on earth. So Satan would duplicate that. And then what we will see particularly in this thought is not just that Satan building his kingdom for these 6,000 years and heading up into an Eden, which would be his headquarters, but there'll be a literal place where his kingdom is headed up to rule the entire world. Now, you'll notice also that God started with Eden. And, of course, this starts the era of human life on earth where God is dealing with his sons and daughters in this particular age, which is roughly 6,000 years. But Satan doesn't start, he ends. He ends his Eden within 6,000 years. And, of course, it brings it to a place of total world control, as it mentions in Revelation 13, which we won't particularly read at this time. So then Elohim in the beginning, as we see, Elohim in the beginning influenced Adam and Eve by his spirit. You'll find Brother Branham mentions that in a message that God was controlling, God was controlling man and man controlling the earth at that particular time by his spirit. In other words, it was an influence that God was bearing upon these two. And then occasionally, he would come down and visit with them personally, as we see in Scripture that God came down in the cool of the evening. Now, also then we notice that in the Garden of Eden, Satan took over the government of mankind by influencing mankind by his spirit. Of course, that spirit was there in an animal, beast, intelligent individual. And so Satan, by his spirit, was influencing man. And that influence has gone on. And there has been one personal incarnation of Satan, as in Judas. And there will be another incarnation at the end, which is very, very shortly, when he shall be amongst the people, and he will be governing in their affairs. In other words, influence is going to give way to complete sovereignty of the enemy. And you'll notice the same thing has happened with the church. The influence of God will one day give way to the complete sovereignty of God, where God and his people become all and in all. Now, this power of influence that Satan has that leads to direct sovereignty in the affairs of men will actually end up by demanding and receiving worship. Now, as we think of the people worshiping Satan, and here's what I want to particularly dwell upon. As we think of the people worshiping Satan, we want to emphasize the original plan of Satan. So we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 14, and we look at it, 12 to 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now here he is actually telling you, before there was any intrusion in the kingdom on earth, this was already his plan, that he would not simply be coexistent with God, although he'd be happy to have that. He would literally take over the position of God. Now, this language here is a bit abstract as you look at it. And what you need is a further revelation to really understand what is said here. The Son of the Morning, I will ascend into heaven, exalt my throne above the stars of God, sit in the mount of the congregation sides of the north, and ascend above the heights of the clouds and be like the Most High. Now, what that really, as the vision of Satan, of what he would accomplish through himself, is found in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by gathering together unto him, that ye soon not be shaken in mind or troubled, as by spirit or by word letters from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now watch, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God. Now he's in opposition to God, as he was in Isaiah chapter 14. And so therefore, he comes to this position where he takes a position that's actually above God, so that he is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that explains very thoroughly what is said there in the book of Isaiah. Now, if you turn to Revelation chapter 19, 19 to 20, you'll notice here, it says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into the lake of fire. So you see, he's gone right to the place of where he has headed up all the nations by his deceit. He's got the ability to do it, and he does it. And then in Revelation 20, 7 to 15, again, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed their camp of the saints about in the beloved city. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented for every day and night. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, another book was opened, and this is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell cast and hell death and hell were cast were and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you can see what Satan actually comes within a hairbreadth of achieving, and he actually does achieve it, though he will be destroyed at that particular time. Now, all this started in the book in the Garden of Eden, and that's found over here in Ezekiel 28. His plan, the consummation, his defeat. Now, it starts in Eden, and that's in Ezekiel 28:12, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, and so on. And you're noticing here that this is almost a replica of the Urim and Thummim and the Ephod, the part of the garment of the high priest. There's 9 there instead of 12, and it is a form of worship. And notice thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. So you can see here that actually Satan's plan is going to be a worldwide plan and a system of the convergence of religion and economy, or politics and religion. This is exactly what he's going to do. And if you will notice, this is the same plan as God has. There isn't any difference as far as the plan is concerned, the programming and so on, except as the two individuals differ within themselves. And of course, you know there's a vast discrepancy between God and the devil. Now, what we're looking at here, and by what I've read, is Satan as deceiver. Now, over here in Isaiah, this 14th chapter, which we've looked at many times, it says, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. Now, in here is son of the morning. You find, actually, literally, as I brought before you, a parallel to Jesus the Christ. You know, the day star rise. So, you're looking at the idea here of a bringer of light, a bringer of understanding, a bringer of revelation. And in Ezekiel 28:12, where he becomes associated with man, and it says, Thou, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, thou hast been in Eden. So what he's done here is begun to influence people through appealing to them as a deceiver to attempt to show that the kingdom of God really is not such a tremendous thing after all, but there are other things that are far beyond it, far superior. And if you were just to take the right attitude and do the right things with what is already here, you would come out in a far more glorious experience and position than you would under the status quo, which is a God who doesn't change and his laws do not change. In other words, Satan comes along with his emblandishments and he lets you know that the only way is for anything to progress is to look for change. Now, if you go to your Bibles, you're going to find that that's one thing that God does not go for, which is change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And he said, this is the only reason you sons of Jesse are not consumed. Neither God nor his ways change. Now remember, I showed you some time ago and I said, God does not want things to change. He does not even want governments to change. Now, way back there, you'll find that God had a theocracy. He was reigning Israel. The devil came along and said, everybody's got a king, and I'm sure though things are pretty good under God, we can make things a whole lot better. All you got to do is use your brains and take what is here and go ahead, and you can see we can improve on it. That's just exactly what Satan said. Israel changed their government. Now, you notice I made a statement about that. And I said, now, Russia was wrong when they got rid of the Tsar, and they got into what they got into, which was communism. Now, where is communism today? See, it's self-evident that when you go to the Bible and you take Bible laws, you will find you don't have to be a prophet. You just say what God said is going to come to pass. That's what's wrong with America, joining land to land and house to house. There's not a way for America to escape. They are heading for the biggest depression the world's ever known. And all you got to do is open your eyes and see where everything is. The Roman Catholic Church and the Jews are everywhere, and the Jews got all the paper. Now tell me how Milken can actually pay a fine of $600 million. Well, you couldn't raise $600 million in currency in America. I don't know if you can raise it in gold. It's paper. Where did the Jews get the paper? Did they get our money plates and turn out these billions of dollars? Well, according to a lot of experts, that's exactly what happened. So you see, you've got these two forces in the world. They're both run by Satan. It's religion and politics. Now, God does not want politics, nor does he really want religion. He wants spirituality, see? But what you're looking at here is Satan as the deceiver. And he is the deceiver because he's the son of the morning. He seals up the sum of wisdom. And notice, at the end time, Revelation 12 and 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, even Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. As the bride goes out, he comes down. And you'll notice, he wins by his flatteries, and he takes over by deception. Okay, 13th chapter, and the 14th verse. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. All right, the Roman Catholic Church today is charismatic, and so are all the Protestant harlots. You simply cannot get away from it. What is it? It's a matter of deception and politics. And do not underestimate politics. Don't think for one minute the Pope is got in his office in any other way than politics. And don't think that any Protestant is elevated to being an elder over some organization or a president or some authority outside of politics. If he was the most spiritual person, he would never head up the organization. And you notice that's why there's such a terrible problem in a fivefold ministry. Because almost invariably, the very office itself lends to politics. You can say what you want. If you don't think it's true, all you got to say, well, Brother Bay, would you make some phone calls? Well, most of the time I don't make phone calls, but if I thought I wanted to make phone calls, I would certainly make phone calls. Which means I'd be critical minded. And if you think you're any different, you're sitting there lying to me and to yourself. You know, I mean, I can read you like a book because I read my own heart and know what's going on. And I hear things also. So, you know, we're not stupid. Religion and politics. And that's what amounts to pretty soon religion is politics. Now, if a church did the thing by the right thing, you take the simple-minded person, the simple person, and ask him to judge things. Now, you wouldn't want a simple-minded guy as though he didn't know split beans and buttermilk, or some kind of stupid fellow, but he's just a nice guy. But no desire to have an office and all. So, you see, when you're looking at these things, you've got to understand that with the sun of the morning, is going to come so close to the reality which is set forth in the Word of God, but it's going to be tainted by politics to get an influence and an upper hand, which is a an underhanded thing and a double-dealing premise. And Satan comes in then, and he takes the whole world over. All right. Now, putting this together, so you can get what I'm really trying to get to tell you tonight, is this. Satanic influence by the spirit of the enemy that started out with the white horse rider that gets crowned. And going on down till I'm all poured into one. And you see the Antichrist come forth as a human being. Satan incarnated. Starting with an influence. Satanic influence and eventually Satan worship is not to be thought of as a few barbaric cultish groups of people with bizarre sacrificial rites or immoral orgies. Though this can happen, and does happen, and will continue to happen, to draw the people's attention from the reality which I am preaching tonight based upon Brother Branham, who took it from the Bible, vindicated by Almighty God Himself. See? So it's not a bizarre cultish people with bizarre sacrificial worships of animals or immoral orgies, although they can be there. But it is as said by Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And he says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. If I espouse you to one husband, I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear you're going to get into a league with Satan. I fear lest by any means you, the serpent beguiles you, the deceiver comes and deceives you through his subtlety. Now, subtlety is not demonic rites and orgiastic practices where people kill animals and pray to Satan. Now, this is what the world calls satanic worship and religion. And if you don't believe me, tune in to Springfield, 9 o'clock, and hear Dr. Dobson. And you'll hear Chuck Swindle. I think he's a bit of a swindler. He doesn't mean to be, but he swindles them on the gospel. You listen to all these people, and they're all concerned about their kids smoking pot, because that's what they smoke, marijuana, becoming mainliners and everything else, teenager pregnancy, satanic worship, that's all hogwash. Let me tell you right now. If you think Satan would bend to that, you're stupid. Now, you think because Satan is the cause of all these rotten things in the earth, war and everything else, that this is what Satan does. I got news for you. He's got you hooked right there. You're washed out. You're finished. Follow me? Stupid. Stupid. He's the son of the morning. The one who heralds the new day. Oh, what love we have. Oh, what society we have. Hallelujah to God. He led in the worship of God. And if you think he's forgotten his tricks, you're stupid. So don't get your eyes on these little riff-raffy kids in school that think they're so smart, because you went through it too. They're just a little more influenced by the devil than you were. And these few ignorant idiots that are too big for their eyebrows and everything else, think they're pulling off something, are the decoys of the devil. To make you think there's going to be some sort of orgiastic, terrible type of worship hit this earth and everybody's going to go gaga for it. You're entirely wrong. There is still a moral majority that is going to be absolutely sucked in by the devil. And that's what we want you to understand tonight, so don't be fooled. Now let's keep reading. I fear lest Satan beguile your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus. Now here is what you're going to see happen. The truth is going to be subtly twisted by the deceiver. There'll be another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Just twisted. Now, notice what he says down here in verse 12. But what I do, that I will do. Now he said, I'm going to come against this thing. that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, therein they glory they may be found even as me. Now notice that these people that are going to destroy with Satan, but such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, that's Satan's, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And it tells you right there, they'll be the finest of the fine. They'll be wolves in sheep clothing, deceiving everybody but the very elect. Now that's what you've got to look forward to. The moral majority. Now let's take a look at this. Years ago, we know the popes were a very corrupt bunch of bazookas. God knows they're still corrupt, but they're not in the same way they were. They had their own sisters in incense, and they filled their choirs with their papal, with illegitimate kids and everything else. We know that that's right in history. Come on. I challenge any Catholic to stand against history. He can't do it. It's right there. But notice how at the end times, the deceit is not going to be that way. It's going to be as an angel of light. Now, you think this last pope here, this fellow they picked, this Pope John Paul, you think for 1 minute that he's a grossly immoral person? The answer is no. In fact, right now they're even giving him credit for the peace and the unity in Europe, and they say it wasn't Gorbachev, it was the Pope. Because notice how he went to Poland, and there he stood as a great figure, and it was the centrality of the Pope in the Roman Catholic Church that brought the communistic empire down. Hogwash. That dirty bird paid footsie. I saw on TV his own legate. This stood before millions by television and acknowledged that the Pope and Gorbachev had a liaison. Now, where's his Christianity? He stands there as the vicar of Christ. He says, "Oh, Mr. Pope, oh, Mr. Pope, Mr. Pope." And he's a whale of a nice guy. Now, the swaggards and the sleazeballs are not heads of organizations. Now, you get where the big organizations are. They are as fine a men as could walk in shoe leather. And they all have one common denominator, and that is the deceit of Satan and a social gospel where you can do better listening to Satan than listening to God, and to put it right in the Word. So, there's a lot of sleazy people. But the devil does not tip his hand until the very end. And I don't know about even tipping his hand is going to bother anybody. Because everybody's got the idea. He's going to tip his hand, and then right away, there's going to be a problem. I doubt very much, because my Bible tells me the armies of the earth and the world is lined up against our God and our Christ. So I don't see anything that the fundamental organizations teach. I say they got it wrong. It is not scattered groups, but a worldwide accepted movement of religion where there is a man and people who gladly give their allegiance to him as though he were the true embodiment of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and the driving force which is going to do something good for the world. And that's just what Satan said to Eve. He said, "Look, baby, I got this all figured out for you. Just follow me." To get the picture as it is in truth is to see Eve and then Adam listening to Satan, marking the forehead, and then doing his will. The mark, and that's the sign in the hand. And not even being aware of it, were they? No. Until the trap was sprung, and then came the confrontation with God in judgment. And the penalty for what they did. So the church will fall for the lie and worship and serve Satan, the creature, and not even be aware of it, as seen in Revelation chapter 3, speaking of the end time church. I know thy works, you're neither cold nor hot, and with you're cold or hot, either get on my side or the devil's. But he said, you stand right in the middle pretending to be for me, and the devil's running you. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot, I would that you were cold or hot. Now, let me just put our finger there and see if I can go back here to John 8 and find something. Now, in verse 37, it says, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word's no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father. You do that which you've seen with your father. Now, what were they doing? The minute worship was instituted by sacrifice, Cain, the son of the serpent, took the word of God and went directly against the revelation of God. That's what he did. So this is what you see. You see God being denied his Godhead and Godhood by his very word. Yeah. I speak that which I seen with my father, you do that which seen with your father. They said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if you're Abraham, surely you do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Now what did they do at the end time? They crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, during the time of direct vindication of the word of God. Hebrews 6. Okay, let me turn over here and read you paragraph 55. We'll get ahead of myself. Now, by unbelief in all of God's word has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. We're now entering in where Satan is taking the throne as the Antichrist in an Eden on this earth, an Eden of sin, perverted religion. He started not upon, I am Satan, I am the great angel. No, not upon that, but upon perverting God's word. And that is how he has brought his kingdom in every age. And now in this great deceitful age, ready to take his throne by his people, he has built himself an intellectual, educated, scientific Eden. Right. Scientific preacher, scientific church, scientific knowledge. Everything is scientific. Everything is based on, everything is on the basis of knowledge. The whole church is built upon knowledge. It isn't supposed to be, should be built upon faith. So there you are. So what you want to see tonight is, don't get carried away with what you hear as Satan worship in this hour, because it is nothing but a scarecrow. That's all that it is. It's nothing but a scarecrow. It's something there to get you away from the truth as it is in this particular hour. Now I want to go back to reading what Brother Branham said here. Now of course Brother Branham would have to come and correct where the gospel went off of course. Before there could be a restoration to the Eden of God, and a consummation to Satan's Eden, and a confrontation of both, because it's got to be there, there would have to be something happen wherein the word would be restored. Now, this is what any thinking Christian understands but refuses to face. You say, why? They could not face it in the days of Jesus. They cannot face it now. See? He said, you come to me for gold tried in the fire. You come to me for the eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Now this is the word of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door and open to me, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. In other words, we will have confrontation, we will have dialogue, we will have communion restored, we will be father and son again, going into that great happy Eden. But they say, no, I cannot do it because I've already issued my statement. I am not, as you say, I am not wretched, I am not naked, I am not blind, none of these things. I am rich and I am increased in goods, and I'll prove it by talking in tongues. And they do it. And they have the miracles, the whole smear. Not knowing that son of perdition leads to son of or man of sin. The son of perdition simply means, as it were, the child now gives way to the father. So the church system that says I'm rich, increased in goods, and the wonders and signs and all those things are going on is the groundwork, and they say, well, I cannot take it. I'm not going to do it. Now, Brother Branham comes with the message. And, of course, they do not want the message. They turn it down. They do not see it. Why? Because they're already sold out. Now, what does that mean? Here is a vindicated prophet saying, they do not see the message. They do not see what I tell them. No matter if I open their mouths, pry their jaws apart, force down the medicine, they spit it back in my face. They will not take it. Every year, it's worse and worse. Now, why? They have sold out. What have they sold out to? The same what Eve sold out to. Sold out the Word. Sold out the revelation to reason. Exactly what she did. For Satan came and fooled her, and he said, now look, he said, I want to tell you, this is good, but there's something better. There's something beyond this. See, you are not getting what is yours, but I can tell you how you can get everything. I'm going to tell you what you should have. They don't see it. They're sold out. They sold their birthright to some organization, some denomination. He said God never did have an organized religion. That's exactly true. The first organized religion was back in the days of Nimrod. When they said, look at the flood. Something could happen again. So let's have a centralized religion, something we can come around. So they took the Bible and the stars, and they began putting it in stone. Just like it was in the pyramid. So they had their own. They built the obelisk, they pointed unto heaven. They had the stars, the signs of the zodiac. And they began worshiping in the universal religion, which signifies that as man with a central community spirit of one language, had one concept. And with this one concept, which was religion, they would have a unity in the earth. Now that's good thinking. Because without religion, you haven't got morals. You haven't got scruples. So they got to appeal to the psychological. They got to appeal to the psyche. And they said, let's have a universal religion. Now you cannot have, and let's understand this, you cannot have a world system without religion. We say, well, babe, you just go back to your crazy old Bible. Now go back to my crazy old Bible. I'm a crazy old geezer. Now let's stick around and find out if I'm right or not. Brother Brandon's a vindicated prophet. It's going to be just what I've been telling you. See? It's got to be. Now, these people interpret the word for the people, and that takes care of it. Now the word of God tells us exactly certain things were going to happen in the last day. And those things have happened. And as they have happened in the last day, which is the presence of Christ, the appearing, and the vindicated ministry to prove who it was that appeared and for what reason, you're going to have the greatest time of deception the world's known. And that's over here in Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christ. Now, then if any man shall say, lo, here is the Christ, or lo, there is the Christ, or lo, here is a Christ, or lo, here, there is a Christ. What's it say? Don't believe it. There's going to be a whole slew arise. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Now, you're not going to deceive anybody that's even one-third elect by having voices come out of a trumpet or somebody reading your mind or somebody picking a question out of a glass fishbowl and not even reading to tell him what's on the paper and then tell the future. That wouldn't do anything for an elect person or someone even near elect. What it would be, how close is it to the Word? Where are you going here? Now, the Bible tells you right here in plain English, these are going to be people correctly anointed by the Spirit, as Brother Branham said, but they are false to the Word, just the same as Judas was, because Judas, as son of perdition, was equally qualified with the other elect 11 to have the same ministry he had, and then gave way to the man of sin because Satan entered Judas. And you've got the son of perdition ministry going on now, which will give way to the man of sin, and there'll be no problem with the church receiving it, and only the very elect will not receive it. So now where does this crazy idea of drinking blood out of a skull and sacrificing cats and having orgies and saying, Satan, I love you, and crazy tinny music, all full of horrible, stupid lyrics. And now the church is saying, well, now we got to watch this. But I tell you what, I'm glad we got this Christian rock band here and this rock, this metal group over here. And they've got these lovely Christian lyrics. And somebody says, well, now that's true, and I appreciate those lyrics, but I got this little feeling you better watch it. They ain't going to watch nothing. Now, you kids, full of your boogie, roolie, walk and rock and roll, you're just prime targets for the enemies. Nobody can tell you. I can't tell you. Your mother can't tell you. Your father can't tell you. Nobody can tell anybody anything either, because you got all the answers. That's why I don't waste a lot of time. People think I don't have any love. I'm going to tell you, I got a lot of love right for myself. I ain't going to be suckered. And if you get suckered, it won't be from this pulpit. You get that flat. All I do is preach the Word. You can do what you want about it. But get this flat. It's subtle. It's not what people think. It's right to your fundamental church, especially from your Pentecostals on down, because that is the chaff. The last part of the plant is chaff, and it's got to be burned. And you know why? Because the grain comes out of the chaff. The life that came up through the seed forms another seed. And what is it? The life that was planted was true human being, sons and daughters of God. And there'll be one in the resurrection. And it won't be before the resurrection. It's going to take a resurrection. It's going to come back just the way it went down. Now, they're going to say a lot of things, but the crucial thing about the end time, and nobody would know this is the truth except a vindicated prophet, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shines to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now there you've got a son of something again. You have this, the Son of Man, in contradistinction to the son of perdition. And the Son of Man ministry is just definitely Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit come back. Jesus come back in the form of the Holy Spirit doing the ministry will give way to his incarnation into the body. So then will it be with Satan. And the light is simply as it was light in the east, it's light in the west, which means God sending his own revelation in his own way, as he did back there. And the Brother Branham explained that the vindication was that he has to do for the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Spirit, what he did back to Israel when he was there in the flesh. And that's exactly what it says in the book of Matthew chapter 12. We've seen it many, many times. But the world will not see that. They're completely fooled already. Turn on your radios and I'll tell you right now, you're going to hear it. Oh, our poor kids, they rattle and bonk away with that Elvis Presley stuff and that hard metal. Oh, yes, and that's, I believe that's of Satan. I've no doubt in my mind. But we'll dress it up and make some pretty lyrics in there, and the kids can jitterbug to that, whatever it is they're doing. Bong go around. Get into their sin, their degradation. And they'll rot with AIDS. I'm sorry, but I've got to tell you the truth. I get embarrassed and I'm ready to blush about it. I feel terrible. You could break into sweat over it, but it's still the truth. They're not going to listen. I hope every family here can somehow apply the token where your kids will be safe. But I can tell you one thing. I'm not the master of the situation. I'm just going to preach this all the truth. It's a lost cause today. When 10,000 will fall at your right hand, it would only take 600 people. And you multiply that by 10,000. Now you just put that in a little bit of mathematics and you'll find out it goes into millions. So if you were in one nation here and you had even 50 people that were bribed, you'd have 10,000 falling at the right hand. If you moved down the road, you'd have 10,000 more falling at your right hand. There is no way the world's going to escape what's coming upon us. That's true. But as Brother Branham said, there is only one sin, and that's unbelief. Everything else is an attribute of that unbelief, what they've gone on there. All right, now we're reading in paragraph 47 on page 13. Now we find by his gospel program of knowledge. What do you find? He has a gospel program. So what's the gospel? It's a program. Well, they'll talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll talk about the death of Jesus Christ, but it's a program. And it's a program of knowledge, which does not mean it's spiritual knowledge, but it's simply a traditional knowledge that has been passed on down. Better education, higher ethics, more love, civilization, so forth, hath bewitched the people that want to serve God into believing his lies. Now, it doesn't say these people don't want to serve God. It says they want to serve God. You say, then why doesn't God make a way for them to serve him? He has. Who is it that stopped them? The people they elected. Sure. Then they elect politicians, and they stand up and they say, well, I'm a good Christian, bless God, and I believe in this and I believe in that. And as soon as you get in power, even McCullough, the highest senator that died, he's supposed to have been a wonderful Christian, Presbyterian. Maybe a pedestrian, as old Ed Iverson used to call him, but he sure wasn't any Christian. He was one of those guys to kick prayer out of the schools. Then he wonders why there's so much insults of dust in teenage pregnancy. You can't even pray, but you can play. Yeah, politics. Then people want to revere him. Hey, call a spade a spade. There's no time for mealy mouse stupidity. Oh, they say, well, that's name calling. That's vulgar. Well, I'm vulgar. I'm a name caller. Go ahead and do what you want about it. If I go down and sin, put it over my tombstone. Go ahead. If I've led anybody astray, go ahead. It's going to be shouted from the housetop. Don't think anything hidden is not going to be revealed. Once you get the word of God to judge you, you're without excuse. So I don't understand metric measure. You don't have to. The boss gave you a little cup here that tells you exactly what it holds for the metric system. So may I go by liters. Forget about gallons. There's a metric measure here. So many liters. It's 1 liter per this measure. Just measuring 10 liters. Don't try to worry your brain about this other thing. So it is today. God's done something for us. giving us the word. But no, they're not going to satisfy them. They've got to look here and look there and get their own ideas, which aren't good. Now listen, Eve didn't want to do that. She didn't want to get away from God and believe the devil's lies. But he showed her how there was more wisdom in it when he began talking to her. So he got her food. He appeared as an angel of light. Absolutely. So now you've got psychology taking the place of the gospel. That's all you hear nowadays. Now, Eve didn't know. She wanted to know. She didn't understand, but she wanted to understand. God told her not to try to understand. Now, you got to watch that one. God told her not to try to understand. That's true. There's many things you don't dig into. You just believe them. I'm not saying we're trying to cover up things here under the cloak of ecclesiastical misinformation or non-information, some secret. I'm just saying the truth here. When God told her simply what she was supposed to know, she just should have stood there. Not just say, well, God told us not to do it, and then the devil turn around and say, well, just a minute, now you can do this, this, and this, and I'll show you something. Her answer should have been, hey, I've got one headship. Now, isn't it strange today? It was so easy for Eve to give up what she had in the presence of Almighty God in the Garden of Eden, and it's so difficult today for the church to give up anything at all. Here in the signs, in presence of vindicated ministry, an absolutely vindicated picture. That's not something that's just up there for the fun of it. That's been vindicated by the highest authorities in the land. It is somehow a picture of a supernatural being. The light struck the camera. It was taken. Isn't it strange? There's no way the church can turn. Can't give up. Now, if that's not a complete takeover by the devil, you tell me what is. Well, I say the church is nice, and they're trying to be good. They're trying to be fine. Well, what was Eve trying to be? Was she trying to be some type of a prostitute? She would not have understood the word. She didn't want to be. What about the world today after 6,000 years? Nobody says they want to be. But they get stuck. 6,000 years of the wrong information, misinformation. And you know something? Even politics is doing it. What's been going on in South America and over in Iran and all over the country? What they call misinformation. They don't call it a lie. Oh, they're too diplomatic. It is misinformation. So now the church doesn't lie because she's political. She's in misinformation. They're organized. See? Now, Brother Branham says, God told her not to try to understand. How can I understand any of these things? I cannot understand them. I believe them. I don't have to understand them. God is faith and not understanding. We believe just what he said. Well, does that mean you can never understand? No, it just means that, hey, you can take God at his word and wait. If there's something to be known, you can know it. But just stand with the word of God. How can anybody know if God is going to do things if God promises to do them and the people doesn't stand still? If the people do not stand still. This woman would not stand still, and so she had a problem. Now compare God's Eden to Satan's Eden after 6,000 years of perversion and true interpretation of God's promised word to this age. Now let's compare it and see where we get to it. Like Satan did to the church in Christ's time, trying to keep back God's loyal sons from the truth. In other words, he's saying the church tried to keep God's children away from the truth. They had the Sanhedrin, the Herodians, and the Pharisees, all in one great big... the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the Pharisees. Herodians, three groups in the Sanhedrin, all one great big ecumenical society. And they were keeping back the children, the Israelites, from knowing the word of Almighty God. Now, what if your father told you, and you're a loyal son to your father, and he said, son, don't go in that water out there swimming because there's alligators in that water. And the fella comes back and said, my, such pretty water as that, there can't be any alligators in that. There's no such thing as alligators out there. Now, who are you going to listen to? If you're a genuine son, you'll listen to your daddy. A genuine son or daughter of God takes God's word first. I don't care what anybody else says about it. They take God's words first. There is poison in the cup. If there's poison, they believe it. In other words, if there's poison in that cup, they believe it. Having faith in all his word, his seed, brought an Eden of holiness, love, and eternal light. All right. His key word down here at this point is not the people's actions, but having faith in all his word, his seed, brought an Eden of holiness, love, and eternal life. All right, what did the word of God bring? The word of God brought that Eden, right? All things created by the word. Now, what she should have done was stood back and said, now, just a minute, big boy. All of this here is by God's word. Now, I think I'll just stick with God's word. But she didn't. Now, she knew it was all there by God's word. Now, the devil did not come along at that time and say, I want you to know something. God did not do this by his word. I did it by my word. Okay? Now, the church today isn't that smart. They're like the time when Jesus was on earth. And the people said, well, don't you know this fellow here, Jesus, he does that by the power of God. And the Sanhedrin said, now hold it, he doesn't do it by the power of God, he does it by the power of the devil. Now right there they blasphemed. And down the road he said, I'll forgive you now, but there's going to come a day when that happens, there is no forgiveness. I want to ask you a question. Is the church listening to the Church of Christ? That means all Roman Catholics and every Protestant, Anglican Church, Methodist, whatever they are, there's hundreds of them, hundreds and hundreds of them. Are they all parroting the devil? The Church of Christ that says the devil heals? Now you go to the Catholic Church, you go to their shrines and you can get healed. Lourdes, Fatima, the rest of them, I don't know how many they got. They got dozens of them. I guess they all go to. They don't get too many results. They investigate them thoroughly. And they come away saying, that's a genuine miracle of God. Now, not too many people will turn around and say the devil heals. But when they get in a pinch defending their religion, they'll make sure the devil can heal. You know, God lets him do it. But normally speaking, they're not going to tell you the devil heals. No, they usually don't want to do that. So Eve could have said, well now, just a minute, if the word of God gave all of this, I don't think I should listen to anything contrary. Now going back to this here, Matthew 12, which is our day, there weren't very many people who call that of the devil, and even today, there are very few blasphemers, and only one man I know of, and that's a German fella, and he's crazier than a hoot owl because nothing he says is the truth. I read his book. He's completely stupid. And if I'd have been the Brannan family, I'd have sued and brought him to court with the Erdmans and those that published me. Definitely would have. And made him eat crow. Because even I could prove what he said was not true because I was with Brother Branham a lot of the time. Everything he said was a lie. But they don't say that those miracles were of the devil. But they say the word was. Now isn't it strange that the word that made the miracles is of the devil and the miracles are of God? True. So where's your deception? Wisdom. Smart. Scientific. The Catholic Church proves the miracles they have are of God or they're nothing. They stand there. The Anglican Church knows miracles. Almost everybody but a teeny little bunch of foolhardy people that believe in any fundamentalism at all concerning God and his great works will tell you, yeah. I believe there's miracles, we just don't see any. I believe there's healings. That God did it and the man's word isn't God's word. Well, you say, what about then the false anointed? That's a whole lot different story, because this man had thus saith the Lord. There's a different picture. But now you see, they want to lump them all together. They want to lump Mark 16 and Deuteronomy 18. They can't do it. So therefore, the division of the word is completely haywire, and they are exactly like Cain, who had the word but misdivided it. Now, where are you? Now, I'm going to tell you where you're at if you're listening at all tonight. You know in your heart you need a prophet like no other generation needed a prophet, and you need the Spirit of God to help you to get it. That's why this church and every church that hears any kind of this message had better seek God to know that every member is full of the Holy Ghost, and every member is looking to that word, to knowing those words lie right in place and understand them. Because this is that hour of understanding, lest the deception take you, because it's a deception based on the word. Son of man, son of perdition. See? God incarnate, man of sin, right down the line. You can't change the way God does things. All right, now, he says here, that is what God's Eden produces, holiness. And it brought an Eden of holiness, of love, understanding, perfection, eternal life. That is what God is planting, his word, his seed. That is what his church will be at the end. Now look at it. It says, as God's word brought that wonderful Eden, it was the planting seed of Eden. So, the planted seed of God is going to bring forth at the end time what was there in the beginning, in a form, now listen, in a form that it wasn't previously, because the seed went through a transformation. What part of the seed? All of it, but particularly the flesh. Now this is what we're at today. Now this is what God's Eden produces, holiness and so on. The same thing for today. All right. Now, Adam was a seed. We know that. Let's go to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let's make man in our image, after a likeness, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle. Now remember, there's a statement made concerning Jesus, who is the image of God, in Hebrews. So you've got Adam here as a son of God, as it says in Genesis chapter 5. Adam in the image of God, Eve in his image, just like Christ. And here he is the son of God, and he's got dominion. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created him. Male and female created he them. Okay. Now watch. In Genesis 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Aha! Notice that God put the seed in the ground. Right. You follow what I'm saying? If he hadn't put the seed in the ground, there'd been no little Adams and Eves. One seed in the ground will bring forth every seed, if it's a billion, by going in that ground. And Adam died to that spirit body he was in. Not a theophonic form, but a little spirit, soul, spirit, body. Put in the ground, died to the other, to become a living soul. He already was alive. To become a propagator. Now, if that's the case, then God cannot fail to bring forth his own seed, his own propagation. Can't do. Here's your law of seed. going to bring forth millions of sons and daughters of Almighty God. There won't be one of them missing. And that is what we're looking forward to in Eden now. Because Eden was the place where God put them to propagate. So they'll come back to it. And those people who don't believe in a resurrection body, and there's lots of them, they are literally blasphemers of the Word of God, and I'm sorry, but I doubt if there'll be any place for them. I just doubt it. I can't, because you see, they don't go back to see. And seed is where life is, where the intelligence is, where the genes and the chromosomes are, which brings forth that in a figure of physical, what lay in the spirit, which is life. So how are you going to change it? Notice here is a thought. Don't forget it. I'll get to some other time or some other message, but you know God said, let every seed bring forth of its kind. What kind of seed was Adam? God's seed. Well, you say, and here's where the people go haywire every single time. They say, well, hey, if that's God's seed, how come it went haywire? Well, God knew it would. That's part of the plan. You know, you can get so deep in the message, you can forget you got a message, and you even get very cold about the whole thing. But I would suggest that you don't do it. I suggest you stay with the Word of God. What you don't understand, just believe. And understanding means this. How does it all work? How does it all come together? How does God do it? That's none of our business. Just believe what God said. But you better believe what God said, not stand back and say, I can't take that. And a lot of people can't take it. They say, well, just a minute now. Paul answered their question. Why did yet God find fault? No, but who are you, man, who pray against God? Can the thing form say, why hast thou made me thus? You can't do it. Now, but God said, let every seed bring forth of its kind. Okay? We took that already in Genesis 1:11, and it says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the tree yielding fruit of its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. It was so. Now, Brother Branham said the seed was already there, but it wasn't time to come forth. You know, our bodies go to the dust, but they're not going to come forth this time. Just like our bodies couldn't come forth this time, the bodies we live in now. They come forth in a time, they're going to come forth another time. Same body. See? 24th verse. Let the earth bring forth a living creature. So it did. They got bodies. And notice in 3:19, the sweat of your face you made bread, you go back to dust from where you came. What was it? Well, what was there before without a body is now there again without a body. Then he'll come back and pick up his body. That's proven in nature. You get a tree, an oak tree, it has acorns. Acorns fall on the ground. Pretty soon the tree dies. It decays. And it makes fertilizer, makes soil, brings forth more oak again. Round and round and round in nature. From dust I came, to dust I go, I come back again. See, all was just what lies there. See, let every seed bring forth its kind. Is that God's commandment? Now, what good is any preacher or anybody else to try to make that word say something else? Now, there's serpent seed and seed of God. Now, watch. He also says every word of God is a seed. And Jesus said so. A seed is as a sower sowed. A seed that a sower sowed. Now, what's one of the words? One of the words is Mark 16. Now, let's watch. This is a trap. So, oh, hallelujah. I got Mark 16. And forget Deuteronomy 18. Now watch. He says the next breath. If Malachi 4 is God's word, it'll bring forth two. Now, the Church of Christ says there's no healing, that's the devil. Everyone's blaspheming. How can you stand and deny God's word and not deny Him? So, look, let's face it, they closed their book. So, well, now, Brother Bill, you should be sweet and nice. You got to be nuts. I'm sweet and nice. I don't intend to be. I am sweet and nice. So I'm going to go and join God's side. I'm going to, I don't want to fight God, nor do I want to fight with God or fight God. It means I don't want to argue and engage in a brawl, because I'd bound to be a loser. Now then he said, hey, he slips this in. What about Malachi 4? Well, nobody knows anything about that. You know, case around. Well, is it going to come to pass? Well, you know, case around. If it doesn't to the Jews. Now, Mark 16 is a fooler because anyone can have a gift but not the giver. And how much of a gift do you have when you turn down the giver? You can't recognize it. And how far do you go with Malachi 4? Nowhere. They can't do it. Every other promise and every other promise must bring forth of its kind. Now he takes you right to the beginning. Eve stood there and God said, all of my word made this. I just spoke it and there it is, there it is. I give you the permission by the Holy Spirit influence. You can move that tree over here and that tree over there. You can do this and you can do that, the other thing. But I just warn you one thing. Watch that word. And Satan came by and he said, just a minute. I'm going to tell you about that word. And she wasn't smart enough to say, hold it, boy. Don't you try to tell me nothing. There it is right there again. Now you do what you want. Well, I got to know this. I got to know. You don't have to know that at all. You just have to know that God vindicated a word and prophets have total recall. Don't think they don't. We have perfect recall too, if we only knew it. Because the Holy Ghost brings to our memory. Bible says so. Now you see Satan out there in his disguise. What was his disguise? Great scholar. A revealer. A prophet. Teacher. He is trying to say it is not so. What's he say to her? He said, it's not so, you're going to die. You don't have to believe that. And he could have argued. Well, hey, God's a good God. Do you think he'd kill you when he put you here for all that he said he would? Ah, come on. That's a little cliche. A little, he's got something in mind different. Let me tell you what it's all about. He fooled her. God meant what he said. She found out too late in the confrontation. She knew it was over. She began looking around for someone to blame. White throne judgment, eh? Many will come in that day and say so and so and so and so. Never mind. White throne. Where was white throne for her? Right there. Now people say, what's this to white throne? They cannot project their minds to where the Bible said the mind would be projected in this hour. Calling those things which are not as though they were because they are. Time literally has ceased to roll in many ways. We join to eternity. That's a very rough situation, but it's there. He said it's not so. Do you understand? I see Satan said, oh, that isn't for this day. Well, you won't surely die. He said, oh my, maybe down the road 10,000 years from now, you know. Why, he said, what are you doing? You're pruning trees? Yeah. Well, he said, notice that bit of pruned material there, how it just kind of evaporates and goes back to the soil. I don't know how it did it, but it did anyway. Why, he said, everything is in a cycle. You don't need to worry. But he had her fooled anyway. And she, like a foolish person, went right to, like an ox to her dead. That's for some other time. That doesn't mean that. Every seed must come forth of its kind. Now, every seed comes forth of its kind. He's now talking about Satan's conversation as against God's conversation. And he said, every statement will come forth of his seed. Now, what is the seed of the devil? It is a lie. What is the seed of God? It is a true word. So, therefore, the true word alone will come forth and defy the word of the enemy like it's always done. Every seed must come forth as kind. That is how God establishes Eden. Is that right? Sure. That's how it did, because every seed was there according to God. Now, notice what Satan said to Eve. He said, I want you to notice something here. He said, this knowledge which you're going to get will eradicate death and enhance your life. Eradicate death and enhance your life. Every church promises what? It promises the eradication of death and the enhancement of life. And so did William Branham promise the same thing to us. Now, the point is, was he lying? No, because he was a prophet. The others are liars because they don't qualify to Deuteronomy 18. Until you qualify for Deuteronomy 18, then you are subject to gifts and a true anointing, but a false word. Here it is. That is how God establishes his church. Every word after his kind. And how will our church be established in our day? By the word of this hour and not for some other hour. See? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, what bread of God did they have before this day? The bread to get you out of the ground. What do they got for this day? A bread that will keep you going into the ground, from going into the ground. Not many people, but some are going to have it, let's face it. See, Satan, he'll take something else, but God said, every seed after its kind. Now, what's the seed for this hour? Malachi 4. What is that? The Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. That's what that's all about. That's what you keep your eyes on. See, I don't know how many is going to make it. That's not the point. The point is to stand like Eve, but not be deceived. Every seed, every promise. If the promise said, these signs shall follow them that believe, then all right, that's what's going to follow. Now, the church says, join the church, recite the creed, know the catechism. There's no such thing in the whole Bible. But Jesus said, these signs follow them that believe. In my name they cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serving, drink deadly things, it won't harm. Lay your hands upon the sick, they shall recover. Who is any man to deny that? Well, all right, it's almost universal. They don't deny it. Except little portions, like they'll argue about taking up serpents. That's how Cash Amberg, I think, lost his thumb. When he got bit by a snake, he took it up, and the snake went whomp, and he lost his thumb or something. Now, that's not what the Bible says to do that. That's like cast as tempting the Lord God. Don't put yourself in a foolish position. But we like Paul, a serpent got him by the finger, and of course the serpent dropped back in the fire. But the Bible is true. But the point is this the ultimate? This is not the ultimate. Because this has been going on for 2,000 years since Christ. And this is a good word. And you don't deny it. But what about the word of this hour, Malachi 4? See? Now, Brother Branham refers to this a lot because many people say this is not in the original, but it certainly is. It's in the original. But you cannot stand on this alone because Matthew 7 denies it by saying, many will come in that day. Have I not cast out devils in thy name, done wonderful works, raised the dead, and so on? He said, never. Then what is he telling you? He is telling you that you can reconcile the entire scripture for this hour so that people know exactly where they stand in the truth. Now, the elect will not be deceived because they understand what? They understand Deuteronomy chapter 18 and the rest do not. They understand Genesis 18, which is Hebrews 13 and 8, which the rest do not. They understand specifically that God does not change his ways. He's as adamant about that as is his own nature. He cannot do it. But the world has an idea that God does different things, and it is not so. So he keeps repeating it. Then he says, every seed, that's germ life, will bring forth of its kind. The seeds and the chromosomes, I mean the genes and the chromosomes. If you are a seed of God, an attribute of God, then the word of God is sown in you. What is it telling you there? If you are that seed, then the ground that it was sown in, which is you, will then have something from the sower, which Brother Branham said, I, the Lord, have planted, watered it, lest any man pluck it out of my hand. No word of God void of power. No word of God will pass away. He said right there, if you're the seed of God, a son, then the word of God is sown in you. And then when you hear the word of God, my sheep or my seed hear my voice, a stranger they won't follow, someone foreign to the word, they won't follow it. You get it? And every seed comes forth after its kind. So it tells you right there that every seed has within it a genetic pattern of history. It has a genetic pattern. And if your genetic pattern is not there, you cannot help in the end time but simply fall for the deception of the devil. But if your genetic pattern is there, the sower, or which is the Father, having sown you in that particular genetic pattern, you will know by whom you're sown, and you will follow that genetic pattern which is in the Word and take you right back to your Genesis. Whatever fell on the ground has got to come back and multiply. So there you are. This is where the deception of Satan is. It lies in fooling the people by giving a wrong word. Let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your kindness to us. When, Lord, we see that these things are not the great mysteries that people try to impress us with and bring out something way, way out there that is nebulous, that is really unattached to the Word itself. But now it comes down to the direct simplicity of the spora, the seed, where the seed came from, what lies within its genetic patterns, and what must come forth according to that which produced it. Then we know, Lord, that there won't be any slip-ups. The genetic pattern, Lord, brought forth in a true seed of the seed source will follow what lay in the seed according to the source, and having come from that source will go back to it and go back, as it says in Hebrews, in the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee, in the midst of my brethren who are of the same source, to glorify God. So, Father, we thank you for this tonight. We pray now because you have allowed us to receive it. As the prophet brought it to us, helping us to unroll and unravel our tired brain, Lord. We believe that your blessed Holy Spirit giving it to us will now imprint it right deep within our minds, giving us this understanding. And there's nobody going to take it from us. And you, the Lord, that planted it, has watered it, and going to bring it forth in this generation. Now let the spirit of faith and joy and exaltation, the spirit of the white heat, Lord, that you called for when you said, I would you were cold or hot, let that animation, Lord, be fervent tonight in us, leaving the lukewarm condition once and for all, turning our backs upon it, refusing it, hating it, denying it, cleaving only to the truth until we become the truth. Because one day, Lord, we know what's in the seed, the genetic pattern, is going to come forth. And like Job, we can say, we'll be satisfied when we wake in your likeness, which we know cannot be far off. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.